You are listening to A Public Affair for Monday, November 8th. Welcome to Storytellers of Color, our new monthly show that airs every second Monday as part of A Public Affair on KGNU. The main goal of the show is to provide a safe space for communicators of color through a series of conversations to elevate their voices and discuss issues of equality in the media. My name is Rosanna Longobetter, and our guest this morning is Big Bella, a news and podcast host and sports reporter for the Colorado Public Radio. He's also a journalist and the host of Back From Broken, a podcast about recovery and comeback stories from Colorado Public Radio. Welcome, Big. It's so great to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Big is also a four-time Edward R. Murrow Award-winning journalist and has won dozens of other journalism awards in the Rocky Mountain region. And I want to ask you right away, how did you start your career? And also as a sports journalist, I'm just like, wow, my husband who loves sports, as you can imagine, was this morning. Can you ask him, how can I get his job?
Yeah. That's a really funny question. Well, since I was a little kid, I knew that I was a huge sports fan, you know, from a very young age. You know, my dad would take me to Broncos games. You know, we had season tickets at the old original Mile High Stadium. And I played sports in Little League and football and things like that. And I always knew that I wanted to perform, if you will. I always wanted to put on little broadcasts in front of my stuffed animals when I was a little boy, pretending like I was, on NBC, like I was Dick Enberg or something like that. And sure enough, I continued that dream through high school and through college. And right after I graduated college at Metropolitan State University of Denver, I was hired as a sports anchor and reporter for an NBC affiliate in Amarillo, Texas. And that's where it all started. It's been about now more than 21 years since I took that first job.
Awesome. You had a mentor that got you there, because it's not so easy.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's not an easy field to break into. I guess my mentors, I had a couple of people who I really looked up to and admired at the internships I did when I was in college at KOA Radio and at Channel 2 News, Channel 2 / Channel 31 News. And these guys were, professional sports reporters who kind of took me under their wing. And so I would go into, the Rockies locker room after the games and get interviews. That's a big deal for someone who's 18, 19 years old. And going, being on the sideline for Broncos games when you're, 20 years old and you're hanging out with reporters who you see on TV and who you read in the newspaper and things like that. So it was really just them shepherding me and trying, and I think also too, Rosanna, that I know they saw some talent in me and they knew that I could do well in this industry. And, when I got my first job, I was thrilled, because getting your first job in journalism, especially television, is half the battle. Once you just get into the arena to do it, is when you could really start, building up your resume, so to speak. But a lot of people, they don't get that far. So I'm very fortunate.
I'm pretty sure those internships really put you where you needed to be at the right moment. Really, you are lucky. You are super lucky. They saw you, they found you, but also you show up. You show up strong. And this work that we do is not easy. Every time, like today, I'm super, super happy to have you. But also, I have the stress going through my veins, and this is the way it is, because that's when we perform at the highest level. because we're trying to bring to our audiences information that is super crucial. We're trying to bring the voices of the unheard. In our case, for example, in KGNU, that is what we strive for. It's like climbing the Everest almost every day. That's how I feel it. But I feel super proud and I push it. And that's the way we do it. But this also gives us we get the high. Yeah. And then how can we go down? The way that I do it is just swimming is the only way. How do you find a balance with this kind of work that you do?
I just love how you described it. And what I heard in your remarks just then is something that every journalist needs, regardless of what level you're at, what kind of journalism, whether you're TV or digital or print or whatever. You have to have that passion to do it. And that's you just gave an example of what passion is. You know, it's you accept that there is stress. You accept that there you're going to have some nervous energy. You accept that you're going to even maybe even have some anxiety, you know. And I think, you know, anytime you're on live, gosh, I've been on live TV and radio for so long now that it's like, you know, it's like you're in my living room, right? Like, you know, I think that's the reward of if you're in the industry long enough, that it really just becomes a conversation between two people. You know, I'm just having a conversation with you right now. There just happens to be a lot of people eavesdropping, you know, and that's, I think that's a really good place to be. But getting back to your larger point, yeah, I think journalism is, it's a beautiful industry that has given me a lot that I'm eternally grateful for. At the same time, it's also a difficult industry, and perhaps now more so than ever. You know, we see the challenges that print journalism faces. We see the challenges that happen in our political climate, where, you know, journalists, especially reporters on the ground who do the work, they're often vilified by a lot of people. And you know, you'll get angry comments on Twitter. I think a lot of people do, right? Like, how do you overcome that? And how do you just overcome that to do the work? Well, for me, I try and set all that aside and just be the best possible person I can and to go about my day and go about my job with high ethical standards and also trying to make people smile, because I think that's something that you know, we need a lot more of right now in this world. So and then lastly, and perhaps most importantly, Rosanna, I think it's incumbent upon us to take care of our mental health. You know, we can easily become overworked in this industry. We can easily get weighed down by popular opinion, right? And we're not making a lot of money to offset that pain, right? So we have to at times say, time out. I'm gonna shut off Twitter. I'm gonna shut off my notifications from work. I'm not gonna look at email. And I'm just going to go for a hike, or I'm just going to meditate, or I'm just taking my dog to the park. You have to do that. You have to take care of yourself.
It's the only way. You are now teaching also journalism at your alma mater, Metropolitan State University, where you graduated in 2000. Do you find diversity in the classroom?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, MSU Denver has the most diverse student body of all the universities in Colorado. And I'm very proud of that. It's something that I noticed when I first went to Metro. At the time, we called it Metro State. It was a college back then when I graduated. You know, and by the way, there weren't, the year I graduated, there were still not a lot of people who had cell phones. So like it was, you know, I'm realizing that I'm really old now. And this was before the Pepsi Center was built across the street, you know, just right around that time is when I went to school there. And to see Auraria campus and MSU Denver thrive the way it has over the last 20 years, and to become this environment where all walks of life are on campus. When you're walking through campus and you see different people from different backgrounds, it's really rewarding. And so you get, because there's more than just the education you get from books and from your professors. There's the education you get from your peers. And you're sitting in classrooms with people who you may not have ever interacted with before. Maybe you grew up in an area that didn't have a lot of Black folks or a lot of Latino folks, or maybe you never met a transgender person, right? Like, now you're on this college campus where all walks of life are, and now you're interacting. And that's where the ultimate education comes in our lives, where we see that this person is just like me in a lot of ways. And this person is a little different from me in a lot of ways, right? So it's that melting pot that creates really what is the total package, I think, when it comes to educating young people and having those gifts that come, that hopefully you hold on to for the rest of your life and career.
It's great to hear that there are future journalists, reporters, media makers of color getting trained. And that you're having them in class. That's fantastic.
Well, and that's really, thank you. And yeah, I'm glad you brought it back to your original question, which was, you know, it's funny. Every year I try and take like a selfie with my class. And it just seems like sometimes I'll look at the picture and I'll smile and I'll see different colors in the classroom and more women in the classroom. And I think that's so important because, you know, for a long time, Latinos, I can only speak as a Latino because that's the life I know and it's the life I've lived. You know, we've just been so underrepresented in a lot of these industries. You know, they're just, there are some terrific people who are Latino reporters, Latino journalists, but we didn't have a lot by the number to really look up to. Just because it was an industry dominated by white men. The more diversity we could put in the ranks, the more the better for the audience, because the audience becomes more, oh, I never thought of that perspective, right? I never saw it through the lens of that person. You know, that's so important in journalism, to have those different voices at the table.
Super important. And you know, I'm going to share with you that I work on a podcast that talk about lack of diversity in our newsrooms. And by digging down and trying to find out how many of us are working in the media industry here in Colorado, it was not easy to pinpoint exactly the numbers. And it was Tina Griego with Call Lab that she put out Journals of Color, and also Diamond Hardiman, who also ran Latinx Voices group, that through that interview, we realized we need to count how many of us we are working and how many. Really, that representation is extremely important. Thank you for pointing that out. I think it's so valid that we need to find more of us so that we can keep on reporting with a cultural understanding and with the respect that our community requires. But for the last 15 years, you suffer from an addiction to powder and crack cocaine. You have been in recovery since 2015. That's so fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I would like if you can tell us about your journey to recovery.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version, you know, because the full story would take about 5 hours, but it's something I'm very proud of, obviously. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't get sober, you know, more than 6 years ago, and God willing, in 2 months, it'll be 7 years. I suffered for a very long time. You know, my life lived on parallel tracks. On one track, I had what was, you know, by all measures, a pretty good journalism career. I was doing good work. I was interviewing politicians and governors and senators and winning awards, and that was all going well. But what was not going well was my life outside of that, which was, you know, totally crippled by an addiction to cocaine for a very long time, you know. And like any addiction, it started off slowly, you know. Okay, I'll just party with my friends on a Friday night and that's it. But then it becomes Friday and Saturday, but then it becomes Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and then it becomes every day. And that's what it was for me. And I did a lot of damage in all areas of my life, finances, health, career, personal relationships. Like, that checks all the boxes. It got to a point where I was doing so much cocaine that I could not physically snort the drug anymore because I did damage to my nose. And so the last couple of years, I smoked crack every day. And that's when things really became dark. It was dark before, but it was even darker when that was happening, staying up for days on end. You know, I was literally mad, you know, as in crazy, because I went days without sleeping, and the only thing I was putting into my body was the smoke of crack cocaine. And but then, you know, at some point though, I realized, and thank God, that I just couldn't live like that anymore. You know, it was one night, I just smoked my last rock. I was out of money. And I sat there and I'm petting my dog and I've been up for days. And I'm like, am I really going to go through this again tomorrow? Is this really what I'm going to do again tomorrow? And when I said that, I just broke out into tears. And I said, you know what, I need help. And I made a phone call. And I've been sober ever since. And I think that's, you know, that while my story may be unique to your listeners, my story is not unique in terms of where we are as a society, because so many people have or currently suffer the way I did. And it's only been exacerbated now with the pandemic. And so it, again, it's something I'm very proud of. It's something I'm very open about. And if there's one thing I want to get across to your listeners, it's that as long as you're above the ground, there's still hope, and never give up hope.
Fantastic. Yeah, hope is what we got. How did your personal experience with this inspire you to produce Back From Broken, the podcast about recovery and comeback stories?
Yeah, you know, it was one day I was going for a hike and it just came to my head. I'm like, I should do a podcast about recovery. And I just called my news director. I said, I want to do a podcast where I talk to people about their recovery. And she said, okay, well, let's see how it goes. And then the rest is history. I wanted to use, I was thinking, what was the best way I could use my experience as a journalist who knows how to interview people, who knows how to tell stories, and my experience as someone who suffered with addiction for so long. In some ways that made me the ultimate expert on the topic, right? Because I lived it. How can I combine those two areas of expertise in my life and do the most good with it? And I think what we've done over the past couple seasons is something I think is remarkable. The messages that we get from people, that I get personally from emails on Twitter, people I've never talked to in my life, total strangers telling me about, hey, I just want to let you know that because of your podcast, I decided to get help. I just wanted to let you know, because of your podcast, I better understand what my son is going through. You know, these are, I get choked up every time I think about it. These are people who are reaching out to me and telling me the most personal things because of the work that we're doing on the show. And I can't think of a greater gift, and I can't think of a greater compliment.
Yeah, that's a great compliment when you hear that the work that you have been doing makes a difference, even for one person. It's all completely worth it. Completely worth it. You have interviewed dozens of politicians, actors, musicians. I listened to the podcast. I was in tears, just like you're saying. Amazing, amazing. Which one of those interviews, and time is running as always, comes to your mind today as we speak?
That's a great question. I love them all, but a few stand out. On a personal level, I interviewed Jake the Snake Roberts. He was a professional wrestler. I was a little boy in the 1980s. I was 7, 8 years old watching Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper and Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, this was the golden age of professional wrestling. And I remember being a kid watching Jake the Snake bring his python into the ring. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And it's remarkable that decades later, I'm interviewing him and we talk about something that we both have so much in common, which is addiction and recovery. And I just thought it was so wonderful. And then also just in this past season, interviewing Hunter Biden. You know, we got to interview the son of the president of the United States, who shared so openly about his own struggles with recovery and told very personal stories about the heartache that his dad had in the interventions that his dad tried to stage to get Hunter some help. Again, this is someone who is a well-known person who is sharing very intimate details about the things that caused them suffering, but more importantly, how they got better. And in each one of these stories over the past two seasons, we're able to, it's my belief that through someone else's journey, you hear your own story. And that can be a blueprint for your own road to recovery. And then when you take that road to recovery, then you provide a blueprint for someone else's recovery journey. And it just keeps giving back, and it keeps giving back, and it keeps giving back.
Well, I just want to thank you, Vic Vela, for joining us for our Storytellers of Color. This collaborative series, inspired by Journals of Color and Latinx Voices Group, which is also releasing an important report with recommendations by a Latinx community-led to deepen coverage and improve relationships with local media. This event is happening this coming Thursday, November 11, at 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. at the Denver Press Club. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be outstanding. And these are the kind of stories that inspire us. Thank you so much, really, for taking the time in your busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
I have been your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Please stay tuned for Counterspin, followed by an eclectic morning of sound alternative. And thank you again, Vic. You are phenomenal. Amazing.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.